Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
But of course you all know that because you are our lovely, 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 lovely Patreon donors. And
yay!
You're all lovely. We just finished our season one review of Jessica Jones, and now we're going to talk about other Netflix shows that are related to Jessica Jones,
mm-hmm.
like The Great American Food Truck Race.
So. Okay. Food truck road trip.
No, let's talk about. So we know that Luke Cage is coming next.
Yes.
And I believe it's been confirmed that Jessica Jones is even going to appear in Luke Cage a couple times. I think they've already
not according
that.
To IMDb.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Kristen Ritter is not the because I was looking at it
okay.
to see who else was going to be in it, including the guy who plays Remy from House of Cards.
Maybe the article I read lied.
Maybe IMDb.
Remy should be his brother. Sorry to interrupt you.
IMDb is also, for those who don't know, it's crowdsourced.
So
anyone can change it.
Yep.
But I was looking at it the other day to look at some of the other people who were involved. And the actress who played Reva, his first wife.
Is in it.
And Kristen Ritter is not listed. So maybe she's a cameo.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're trying to surprise the people
on
IMDb.
Also, maybe they're trying to do the thing where
it's not up to date.
Well, maybe they're trying to do the thing that each of them are a separate. Because I totally expected Matt Murdock to appear.
So did I. I thought the night nurse was really good.
Connection.
I thought Rosario Dawson did a really, really good job in mm-hmm. her scenes. But I was a little bit like, oh, Charlie Cox, where you at?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, night nurse... Rosario Dawson might be our Coulson for these Netflix series.
I'd be good with that, though.
You know, well, they're all going to need healing.
Exactly.
So, okay, so we thought we'd talk about, like, what we would want
mm-hmm.
or what would be our pitches for the Netflix shows and stuff like that. So let's start with Luke Cage. Do you have a strong idea for Luke Cage, or do you want me to go on this one?
Well, to be completely honest, I don't know much about Luke Cage.
Sweet Christmas!
Outside of his involvement with
Sweet Christmas,
Jessica
baby child.
Jones, and I really don't want to see them have a baby in, like, this is the first season of Luke Cage. If I'm stealing your thunder, please make me stop. But what I would like to see would be the beginning of his Heroes for Hire story.
Yes, you are stealing my thunder.
Go for it.
You're stealing my thunder and my thunderbolts, which he eventually leads. I would make a season one
Jessica Cage.
Of Jessica Jones' boyfriend, Luke Cage. That's what I'm going to title it.
That would be awesome.
I miss those titles. They're like Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah. James Olsen?
Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane. No, my first season of Luke Cage would be him trying to get back the money for the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have him kind of steal off of Jessica's thunder a little bit.
Why not?
Because Jessica, at the very end, we see get these calls where people are like, I got a cat in a tree. Will you come help me? My boyfriend hits me. So I think Luke Cage is like, I'm going to steal that. And I'm going to be like muscle for hire for money. But you
as part of Alias Investigations?
No, it has his own thing.
Okay.
And he's going to call it Hero for Hire.
Cool.
Because that's Luke Cage's thing that Danny eventually joins.
Yes.
And I would also have his overarch be that he learns more about that HLN company.
Yeah.
That developed Luke. Because I have a feeling that you're going to find that him and Jessica got their powers.
Part of the same experiment.
Yes. And I think that they're going to figure out, it's going to be about the people that experiment on him wanting him back.
Yes, because I think that's the part of the same company that's responsible for the super soldiers.
Or they're gonna be something. Well, it's the same company that made Nuke. So
yeah.
I think they're going to want their property back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be the overarching arc. And I think he's going to learn that, like, Kilgrave was part of the whole thing of the reason why she died was because she found out.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's going to be a thing. And you're going to find out. I think you're going to find out that Kilgrave was like an offshoot of that and stuff like that. That's what I think his overarching. But it's going to be. So it's going to be a mix. It's going to be like him doing jobs to pay the bills to get the bar back. And then like these soldiers coming after him.
Yeah. Cool. I have.
And then Danny. I'm sorry. And then I want Danny to cameo. I want him to meet Danny in the final episode.
Cool.
So, sorry, go ahead.
I was like, I have an idea for a Hellcat series.
Hellcat!
Because even though she isn't like named as Hellcat in this series.
But she deserves a series.
She does. She's the best.
I want to hear your pitch. Let's hear your pitch for Hellcat.
Okay, so Trisha's big thing is that she is capable. She is very well trained.
Jeff Loeb, I know you're listening, the head of Marvel TV.
You can call me anytime.
Take notes.
I love your work. So her thing is,
I love the first half of your work.
I love your Batman work. She's all about being trained, and she can throw bigger people than her. She can throw stronger people than her. She uses a lot of
kicked Jessica's ass.
Yeah, she uses a lot of like Gojiru and Aikido and like all about like I'm small. Krav Maga, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm small. How do I use my momentum to get someone bigger and stronger than me? Da, da, da. So I think that's really interesting. So I think it would be super interesting if we see her. She's Hellcat. And she winds up in kind of a Black Canary to the Young Justice character's role. So she, as a very capable martial artist and as someone who is also keeping up a brand and an image, teaches younger heroes or newer heroes, like, I don't know, Spider-Man, you know, like is like a trainer for them and teaches them like, this is how you craft your civilian identity. And then this is how you craft yourself as a superhero.
But how does she start that? Because how does she get to that point?
Because after Civil War, they're all going to need help.
Oh, so she's suddenly like, I'm going to leave the radio.
I would start it like in media res and then go back and explain it.
Okay.
So like I would drop in.
That's quite a leap.
Halfway through the series.
That's quite a leap from where we see your character. Yeah,
but in defense of my idea.
Okay. I'm not knocking your idea.
If we get.
I'm very curious. Like, how does she get there?
If we get to the point where we're getting a Trish Walker Hellcat series.
Yeah.
That's going to be after the first phase of all the Netflix shows.
It's going to be after Infinity War, to be honest
with you. Which means I've got 5 years to figure out how to write that.
Okay. Fair enough.
But it'll also be at the time when we're going to be reevaluating these Avengers teams, which means we're going to bring in younger actors and younger characters.
Fair enough. Okay.
But I think that putting her in a leadership role would be really interesting. And then... And please don't come after me and be like, because she's a female character, you have her like being a mother. But because like her thing is all about like how to make herself a hero. So why wouldn't you want to be able to pass that down? Because she also shaped Jessica Jones' identity as a hero.
Yeah.
So maybe people start coming to her or start coming to Jessica or Luke because they're young people with powers and they need help. And so they send her to Trish.
Okay.
So...
Yeah, she's almost like not the night nurse, but she's the hell teacher.
Yeah.
Or the teen.
The Hellcat Academy of dramatic arts.
The teen teacher of superheroing.
Yeah, like, you know, and that's the way that if you were going to introduce like a, I don't know, like a Kamala Khan type or any of the Young Avengers, like she could be the person kind of curating those characters.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
And then they could all intern at her radio station.
Ah.
So that they can all be together all the time.
Okay.
There you go. There's my Hellcat pitch.
Does she have a costume?
You know, that's tough because her costume kind of looks okay on the page, but it's very bright.
Okay.
And, I mean, I don't know. They made Black Panther.
Her costume absolutely will not work.
They made Black Panther look cool. Her costume is like yellow and blue.
It is.
I think you would have to make it like brown and black.
Yeah.
Or maybe like a kind of tabby colored like orange.
I would just not give her a costume.
I don't know. I wouldn't give her the cat mask.
Yeah.
But I mean, who knows? Because like I said, Black Panther looks great. Maybe a domino mask. And then like, you know, kind of a leather thing.
Okay.
But
okay.
I don't know if any of the street level heroes in the Marvel show, well, Daredevil has a costume.
Daredevil has a full on costume.
I don't know if they need it though. Like, I don't think, I mean, Jessica and Luke don't wear costumes, so.
No.
There you go. I don't know. That's an interesting quandary.
Iron Fist needs to wear a costume.
Does he?
Yes, he does. Because his...
But he's basically... He just wears a ninja outfit.
Yes. But his most signature look is that bandana.
Yes.
And Daredevil...
But that's such a 70s look.
Yes. But Daredevil, at the start of that Netflix series, wore a black bandana.
That's true.
It doesn't have to be yellow. As long as he has a bandana on his head, I think he'll be fine.
What if Danny Rand... in the show fashions himself after Daredevil.
Exactly. Here's my pitch for the Iron Fist series.
All right.
That nobody thinks can happen, which is weird. In season one of Daredevil, we see this Chinese lady and she's selling all kinds of heroin and drugs and meth and just, you know, the goofballs that screw you up. And they have the symbol of the Steel Serpent.
Mm-hmm.
Steel Serpent is one of Iron Fist's main enemies. Danny Rand comes as a white man who has lived in Asia his entire life.
Like maybe he was born there.
Yes.
Son of a diplomat.
We don't delve too much into that past because that will be revealed later.
Sure.
But he he is used to being the outsider.
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes to New York and he's very not used to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has to deal with stuff. But he comes to New York because he has learned that there are these drugs out there,
mm-hmm.
that will give people powers.
Okay. So like the kind of mutant growth hormone,
yes,
idea.
Yes, it is a mutant is the idea of the mutant growth, yeah, hormone, and they are being passed around by former associates of the Owl. And the reason why he has come is because there is this special element in this fucking in these drugs that only come from where he's from,
mm-hmm.
you know, and only certain people can help him. But he's very much an outsider in this world, so he doesn't quite know. You know, he's got to stop these drugs. They're not quite, you know, right, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And this is sort of his, let's say, his test before he gets his quote unquote black belt.
Or sure,
before
sure.
he passes.
Before he becomes a master.
Before he becomes a master, yes. And so he spends the series trying to collect these drugs, trying to make sure that these drugs stay off the streets. You know, and so they're at the very beginning, there kind of sort of can be this like monster of the week thing where like, oh, this guy has like,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
like these powers and these powers and these powers.
Does he call on his friend Luke Cage?
I'm not quite done.
Okay.
I'm getting there. I'm okay. getting there. Since he is an outsider, he will hire locals, including a hero for hire that he hears about, including...
They're not friends before, though.
No.
They're not, like, lifetime friends.
They meet for the first time.
Okay.
And I actually think that Danny saves his life.
Cool. Oh, so Luke immediately respects him.
Yes. I think Danny saves his life. I think Luke thinks, who the hell is this oblivious, stupid white boy?
Yeah.
That is set up. I think that he hires a hero for hire.
Mm-hmm.
He hires a PI.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he encounters a vigilante who thinks he's a bad guy.
He doesn't hire a lawyer.
We're getting there.
Okay.
Relax. Give me some. I'm sorry. I love Iron Fist, so I put a live.
Okay.
I'm actually developing this on the spot. I'm freeballing right now.
Freeballing?
I'm freeballing this idea. Just go with it. I'm freeballing. Go with me. Go with me. So he hires all these people. He encounters a vigilante,
mm-hmm.
who is called Daredevil on the streets, who actually thinks that this white boy is taking out all his competition.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he explains it, you know, stuff like that and all these things and blah, 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 blah. And so eventually it comes down to he's facing the Steel Serpent, who mm-hmm. is now running the whole drug business. He's trying to take he's trying to become the new Kingpin, the Steel Serpent. And he needs all of his friends to gather around,
including Hellcat.
Including Hellcat. And eventually, you know, I don't know where the conclusion is or whatever.
Sure.
But eventually, Danny suits up or puts on the bandana because of Daredevil.
Yeah.
And they eventually team up. I would have Daredevil show up for one episode. And then after that episode, that's when Danny first puts on the bandana and decides to be that. At the very end of the season, Danny realizes that he's gotten rid of most of the drugs. He beat the Steel Serpent.
Mm-hmm.
But he realizes that he can't go back home. And he finally tells Luke, oh, my home is a city called Kunlun,
mm-hmm.
the mystical city from where he's from.
Yeah.
That's the reason why he's not. And you can have a whole episode where he tells Luke, this is my origin. And we can go because by the time we get to the end of these 13 episodes, we've set up so many mystical elements that we can have his origin be in an episode 11. And we're in the Cloud City, mm-hmm. and we'll buy it right before he faces Steel Serpent. And we see why Steel Serpent is his enemy. So he beats the Steel Serpent. But he learns at the very end that other Iron Fists have come into the world.
Interesting.
Have come into the world, and they have left items behind, and that these items should really not exist in anywhere outside of Kunlun. Like in Kunlun, they're just like, this is a normal book.
Yeah.
In the real world, it's like this.
It's got energy.
It's an energy bomb. It can explode.
Yeah.
And so he realizes that the Steel Serpent was using lots of these items, and that he's got to stay around because they could be out there. and they're probably all over New York, and he's got to stop. So he decides not to go back, but he's like, I'm kind of homeless. I'm kind of just living in a hotel. So he calls up old Jerry Hogarth and he walks up to her and says, I need a way to live. I need a business. I need resources. My friend Luke told me and Jessica told me that you were good. Here's this rock from my city. Can you invest this? And she's and she's like, it's a priceless diamond that's worth billions.
Yeah.
Thus setting up Rand Industries as his company that will funnel all the resources that he needs, the resources that he can hire a team, the resources to create the Defenders.
Dun, dun.
And then we go right into a Defenders movie.
How old do you cast Danny Rand?
You know what? I'd make him young.
You would?
I'd make him 20.
I was like, because if you're going to cast him in like his 30s, I would suggest martial artist, MMA fighter, Tamo Pennicat as a casting choice.
He's too old.
Yeah, but
he's too old. From Battlestar Galactica. You're talking about Hilo.
Yes, Hilo from Battlestar
Galactica. He's too old. I would make him really, really young.
Like 20s?
Yes, because that way you can have that wide-eyed wonder and to me, you have to make him the outsider character because otherwise, because by that point, we're going to have three series in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
Three very realistic series of Hell's Kitchen about people that have lived there, have grown there, they got grime.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing that you can do different now is have the outsider come in.
Mm-hmm.
Have the outsider come into this business. And I think making Steel Serpent, quote unquote, the new kingpin is a great idea. And I think like if there's this drug out there that gives people superpowers that lets you introduce more mystical elements.
And in a more legitimate way.
In a more legitimate way.
Or and like, it, quote, grounded way.
And it explains why... it explains why this mystical character would be there. And also, like you have to really, really play, like, where do you reveal the Iron Fist?
Yeah.
Like, because, like, I don't know, like, do you reveal it to Luke? No.
You have him fight Daredevil.
Well, I was going to say, like, you either have him get to a point where he's fighting Luke or he's fighting Daredevil and he ignites it.
Yeah.
And I also think it's not you. I think you have him go like six episodes where he's just a really great fighter.
He's a great ninja. Yeah.
He's a really great fighter. But
you don't think, you don't think audiences then go, oh, but he's just Daredevil? Like people who don't know.
They might. But if you have this thing where he like trains, you could also do the thing where another thing that you could do to connect him. You could do this thing where in episode one he's brought to New York by Stick.
That's interesting.
So okay,
or he comes because he sees Daredevil.
Well, no. I was gonna say, so let's do this. You haven't watched all of Daredevil, so you're missing. There's an episode in it where Stick, and you learn that Stick.
I know who Stick is.
Stick is training Matt, and Stick abandons Matt because he's like, "Oh, you're not the right guy."
Oh.
What if episode one of Iron Fist is Stick bringing Danny Rand to New York because he's like, you're my guy?
But what if, no, he should also say, you're not the right guy. Like, whoever Stick trains should not be the right guy. Because, like, that's the final thing is,
maybe igniting the Iron Fist proves he's the right guy. Yeah, okay, I get it. But that's the reason why he comes to New York is because Stick brings him there. So that way you tie it more into Daredevil.
That's cool.
And then that way in the Daredevil episode, like they're fighting and Danny can be like, I recognize your style. You've been trained by Stick.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
And then he's
or
like,
Matt could say that to him.
Or Matt could say that to him. And so it's the idea of these two brothers.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
But see, I mean, did I sell you on an Iron Fist series in that world?
Yeah. And I don't know anything about Iron Fist.
Boom. See, I love Iron Fist. I love Iron Fist. So like when they were all saying like, well, we don't know if we can do it, I was like, let me write it. So there you go.
Jeff Lowe.
That's my Iron Jeff Fist Lowe. Series. Yeah. We know he's one of our $5 patrons, right?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Any other final? Crazy question, and really quickly, we'll finish this off because it's kind of going long for the history lesson extra. Is there a character that you think should get a Netflix series, a Marvel character? Besides Hellcat,
there's a team that I have said since before Marvel announced it was doing Netflix series on this podcast that I think would have been a great Netflix show or TV show, and that's The Young Avengers.
Okay.
Now, I understand...
They're keeping it very street level.
Right, and I was going to say, I understand that the reason that these particular set of characters are the Netflix model is because they are street level, and yep. they're not big effects, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But I think that this would be a great way to introduce, like, younger characters, where the you can have the super hearing, but the focus of it can be a little bit on that teen
relationship
drama, and their growing up, and their development. I just think it would be really, really great. So, yeah, Young Avengers is always my go-to answer for that.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. What about you?
Iron Fist.
Iron Fist is getting one.
Well, that's all we need.
Jason.
I don't have another choice, to be honest with you. I don't know. I mean, I do hope they give Punisher a series.
I
would like to see a 12-issue series.
I think Punisher is going to be the same thing as what they're doing with Hellcat. If those characters are well-received, they'll spin out.
Great.
That's what I think.
Cool. That's all we got to say. That's it. Thank you guys so much for your support and listening to this episode. It's because of support like you that you can do this. And if you haven't donated to my comic drive, please go do that. That's awesome. The details actually are coming out the same day, I think, as we release this, I believe.
I'm going to pin them to the top of all of our social media.
Great. So go donate to that. Thank you guys for your support. Hope you like this episode. I'm Jason Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
This has been Geek History Lesson Extra. Be seeing you.